නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස Dear Dhamma friends, last time actually we have completed Indriya Bhavana Sutta and for that we discussed certain theoretical aspects mentioned in the Madhupindika Sutta, and I have selected another sutta which talks about mental proliferation, and that sutta is called Sakka Panya Sutta. So this sutta is available in the Digha Nikaya, the long discourses of the Buddha, but anyway immediately we can't recognize that the Buddha talks about mental proliferation in this sutta, but in the core of the sutta, Buddha emphasized how important it is and how it is causing various other detrimental aspects of one's life. So this sutta in a way has some aesthetic aspect as well, and therefore just to have a kind of a change to our ongoing discussion, I thought of touching those aspects as well without immediately going to those theoretical or technical stuff. Now, on one occasion, Buddha was living in Rajagaha, and there is a Brahmin village called Ambasand. So there he is actually staying in a cave called Indasala. So basically he is living in Rajagaha, and there is one village called Brahmasand, and there also he is dwelling at a cave called Indasala. So at that time, Sakka, the god of the lords, lord of the gods, say there are different levels of heavenly realms are mentioned, and there are the Tavatins, the lord of the 33 gods is called Sakka, and there are a few other names also that we come across while we are going through the sutta, and there he got an idea to see the Buddha, and there he asked, where is Lord Buddha, from his companions, and they mentioned that at the moment Buddha resides at Indasala cave in Rajagaha. So then now, what he did was, he didn't immediately go to see the Buddha, rather he asked one of his attendants called Panchasikha to first of all have an appointment with the Buddha, go and take an appointment from the Buddha to do a sort of a introduction that God Sakka is coming to see you, so please accommodate him. So likewise, kind of a cordial invitation, kind of an appointment through one of his attendants called Panchasikha. So it seems like the god Sakka related to the some higher level god, and the Panchasikha is somewhat below, so it's called a Gandhab. So they are the musicians, dancers and all that, the ones who are making some enjoyment to the higher level gods. So that seems that there are different levels of gods available among them. So different levels are available among even the gods. Anyway, so now the task is assigned to Panchasikha, and now Panchasikha is going to meet the Buddha. By the way, Panchasikha at that time is in love with another goddess. And so we can see after coming there, once he had some cordial discussion with the Buddha, he talks about his fiancée. So that is also interesting here, because it seems like not only in the human realm, but there are some love affairs in the god realms as well. Now there are sort of interesting points mentioned here, that this Panchasikha, the person who is capable of playing a lute, and he was in love with another goddess called Thimbaru. And they are, anyway, unfortunately, she is somewhat assigned to another god, and now Panchasika was somewhat broken hearted. But he is honestly in love with this Suryavachasa. Suryavachasa is the fiance's name, and so with her. Now he is now talking and singing about various qualities of Suryavachasa, and again he mixed that information with the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. So he is actually talking, it's a very much like a song, and there he highlights his love towards Suryavachasa, as well as he is talking about certain good qualities salient in the Buddha Dhamma and Sangha. So I am not going to go through each and every verse here, because it is somewhat related to a love song. And then after he explained that song, or rather with his lute, and once he sang this song, so there's an interesting comment made by the Buddha. So he mentioned, Panchasika, the sound of your strings blends so well with your song, and your song with the strings, that neither prevails excessively over the other. Now that indicates that how carefully Buddha has listened to the song and the melody. So he found out that this Panchasika's singing is very much accordance with what he is playing. Now he is playing the lute, and at the same time he is singing, and it is very well mixed. The music and the vocal is properly mixed, properly matched, and they are not excess in any place. So they are in line, they are well synced. So that point Buddha highlights here. So that in a way shows certain aesthetic aspects of the Buddha, and on the other hand the skillfulness of Panchasika. And now he further explained, and he asked from Panchasika that when did you prepare or compose these verses? And then he mentioned that just before the Lord Buddha became enlightened, and while he was sitting at the Banyan tree, that is the Bodhi tree, so at that time he actually composed these songs. Now, in order to win this goddess called Suryavachasa. Now, after mentioning this information, now Buddha and Panchasika is kind of in a cordial discussion, and that was recognized by the Sakka. Now, even though Sakka is still at the Thavatinsa realm, so he is actually very much like observing what Panchasika is doing. Now probably he might get upset why this guy is going and talking about his fiance to the Buddha. Anyway, he seems acknowledge what Panchasika is doing, and now he interrupts. God Sakka interrupts, and he sends a message to Panchasika. Now you have to put my appointment. You have come there for a task, to take an appointment for me. So please inform that I am going to come there. It's interesting in a way, because sometimes when we are sending a messenger, he goes there and he has a established relationship with the other party, and he forgets the message. So it's happened in the human realm very often. Now it has happened here also. Now Panchasika is now in discussion, dialogue with the Buddha, and he talks about the fiance and all these things. Now probably he might have forgotten for what purpose that he has come here. Now God Sakka, while being in the Thavatinsa, he reminds, just inform Buddha that I am going to come and meet him. Now immediately, yes, so this Panchasika inform the Buddha that God Sakka is going to come. Now after informing, then God Sakka come back come to the Indasala cave. It doesn't take long time for them to appear from one place to the other place. So it is mentioned just like extending a flexed arm or bending a extending a flexed arm or opposite, so they can quickly come to the any place where they are, where they want. So such quickly, so he appeared in the closer to the Indasala cave, and now he is standing and he is paying respect to the Buddha. And then actually Buddha addressed him with the name Venerable Kosiya. So Venerable Kosiya is the name used for Sakka to address there. Now Kosiya seems to be the original name of Sakka. Before he became the god Sakka, he was in the human realm and he has done various good deeds. And as a result of that, he was reborn in the Thavatinsa. And Buddha refers that original name, the Kosiya. Using that name, so Buddha addressed the god Sakka. And Buddha appreciated his visit. He mentioned that you have so many tasks, you are very busy while being in the Thavatinsa, so it is interesting that you found some time to meet me. Because Buddha is a spiritual teacher, now god Sakka is entirely on the sensual realm, and he may have a lot of tasks in the devil realm, and now somehow he is interested in this spiritual enhancement as well. Now he find time to meet the Buddha. Now anyway, people like to go to the heaven, but it seems like heaven is also not extreme relax, it seems. So they also have various tasks, so they are also quite busy. Especially god Sakka is quite busy, so in his schedule, in his calendar, it seems like fully occupied. Somehow Buddha is appreciating that he is able to find out the time slot to meet the Buddha. Now after mentioning that, this god Sakka mentioned that it's another time also I put a message. Actually, I came to see you. So he remembers one of his previous visit to see the Buddha, and he mentioned that another occasion I came to see you, but unfortunately I couldn't meet you. At that time Buddha was on samapatti, on a meditation. So at that time, so I didn't want to disturb you. So what I did was, I have left a message to another woman. So that is also not a woman, actually it's another deity who is Vesavana's wife, Bunjati. Bunjati is the Vesavana. Vesavana is another deity, and that deity's wife was around, and this Sakka has left a message to her. So he actually asked when to see the Buddha, and then this lady has mentioned it is not the correct time. Now Buddha is in meditation, so therefore it is not an appropriate time to meet the Buddha. So at that time, god Sakka, what he did was, he mentioned then please go to the Buddha, and once he is available, please go to the Buddha and mention that god Sakka has arrived to see him and he is paying respect, venerating the Buddha. So likewise, please give my message, please give my veneration to the Buddha. So this is a kind of a task assigned to one goddess called, or deity called, Bunnaji, Bunjati. So now god Sakka reminds that, so I have left a message, did you get that message, Bante, did you get that message? In a previous occasion also I came to visit you. Then Buddha recalls and mentions, yes, I got the message, and this deity Bunjati has given that message. And actually I came out from my meditation after hearing the sounds of your vehicle. Now after this information, now Sakka mentioned that I actually understand that when the Buddha arise in the world, the realms of the gods increase. So their crowd actually increases. On the other hand, the realm of the asuras declines. So because the wholesome activities are increasing, many people are involved with the wholesome activities, and as a result of that, after the death, they are reborn in the heavenly realms. So the heavenly realms are crowded, getting increased because many are doing wholesome deeds. On the other hand, the unwholesome side is reducing, and therefore, kind of a decline is there on the hell realms. And therefore, that is a point that further God Sakka is mentioned here. And again, there's another interesting point that this God Sakka mentioned here. This is also quite interesting. There he mentioned there is one girl called Gopika who was in faith with the Buddha, and she was actually in the Kapilavastu. She's a Sakyan girl, but she's really faithful to the Buddha. One interesting feature she had was she didn't want to be a girl, a woman anymore. She was expecting to be a male. So that kind of a wish was there with her. And she rejected the status of a woman and developed the thought of becoming a man. And then what she did was she was continuing his morality practice, and she's so faithful to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and she maintained that determination as well, that her wish as well to become a man. And with the power of her determination as well as the wholesome power, and after passing away, she reborn in the Thavatinsa realm, that is the heavenly realm, as a god, as a male god, not a female, as a male god called Gopaka. Now, not just a god, he is the son of the gods. Now, everybody liked him, everybody considered him like a son. All the gods considered him like a son, and he's really, in a higher position. Now, this is something that God Sakka is explaining, how the people who are unfaithful to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and how they are getting that benefits. And he himself has understood the benefits through his own practical knowledge. And now he is pointing out what this particular incident. And then another incident happened, that there were three monks who were actually monks in the Buddha's Sasana, but they are quite careless, so they are not diligent in their practice. So what happened after their death? So they also born in a heavenly realm, but in a Gandharva realm, in a kind of a lower heavenly realm. As I mentioned, that Panchasika is in a Gandharva status, where they are the musicians, dancers, and they are in a kind of an inferior level of the gods. Now, similarly, these three monks, after passing away, since they didn't diligently practice, so they were careless and more into the sensual pleasures, they couldn't practice diligently. So after their passing away, they became musicians at the heavenly realm, and they have to now play music to those Gopaka and the other higher gods. So it's a kind of a shameful fact. So now this Gopaka is pointing out this point to these three gods, three Gandharvas. So he is actually, in a way, kind of hinting to them. So he mentioned that, "I am ashamed that you three are monks. You three actually had to dedicate your life for the teaching, to the practice. But you were not there, you are not doing that properly. Now see, you have come to the lower heavenly realm. See my situation. I was a man, I was a woman. I had a lot of faith towards the Buddha, and I didn't want to be a woman anymore. I want to be a man. And see how powerful this meritorious deeds. I became a Gopaka, the son of the gods. Now I am superior than you. It is shame that you have become kind of servants of ours." So it's kind of a hint. kind of a criticism that he made to these three monks. And among these three monks, there were two actually quite ashamed by the talk of this Gopaka, and they immediately went away and they recollected Buddha's qualities and they again practiced diligently. And quickly they were able to attain concentration, and with the proper practice they were quickly able to attain Maggapalayasre. Now they have reborn in a Brahma realm as a result of that. Because it seems like they were able to eradicate the defilements, which is not, now they have no desire to stay in the sensual realm, and they have become a non-returner, and as a result of that they reborn in the Brahma realms. Now the other monk, still he couldn't renunciate his sensual desires, and as a result of that he just remained in that lower realm. Now this is another interesting point that God Sakka pointing out to the Buddha. So this kind of an incident has happened. So it's a kind of a conversation, and then those information is actually included in this Sakkapanha Sutta, and this Gopaka, the discussion between the Gopaka and those three monks are also included. So I am not going to in detail to each and every verse here. And after having explained that, then now God Sakka come into the point. Now he actually wants to ask several questions from the Buddha. So that is the whole purpose of his visit. And Buddha, and he mentioned that, Bhante, I have certain questions to clarify, certain questions to ask from you. Please kindly answer those questions. And Buddha understood, now this fellow is a really intelligent person. If I explain him all the Dhamma, he is quite capable to understand that Dhamma. So it would be very beneficial to him. So Buddha also agreed, yes, please ask your questions. I will answer those questions. Now the questions that he asked actually has much relevance to our mental proliferation. So that is why actually I have selected this sutta. Now actually we are coming to the technical part of the sutta. Now he mentioned an interesting point. Sakka mentioned that whoever, the gods, asuras, gandhambas, humans, actually everybody wants to be free from hate. They want to live harmoniously and without any hostilities. So they want to live in harmony. But unfortunately, there is no such harmonious living. People are quarreling, they are fighting, they are arguing, and all these sorts of issues are there. But as a whole, everybody wants to be free from hate. Everybody wants to live harmoniously. Everybody wants to be free from hostilities. So that was the kind of the main goal, but unfortunately it is not happening. What is the reason? So it is not only today, in the previous days also the same thing. It is not only common to the human realm, it is common to the God's realm or the heavenly realms as well. And to the Nagas, Asuras, to everywhere, this is kind of a common fact. People want to live harmoniously, people want to live free from hatred, but the opposite happens. What's the reason? And then Buddha mentioned, it is because of the bonds of jealousy and avarice. That is the reason that all these issues are coming to the being. So there is jealousy, there is avarice. So as a result of that, constantly these arguments, quarrels, hatred, and those kinds of unwholesome qualities are prevailed in the human realm, in the heavenly realms, in the asuras, nagas, everywhere. So the immediate reason Buddha shows here is jealousy and avarice. And then, after getting that answer, Godsaka was quite happy, and probably he too have reflected about this problem before, or the question before, and he was quite happy about the Buddha's answer. Now he asked another question. Then Bhante, what is the reason for this jealousy and avarice? So that is the next question Godsaka is asking. And then Buddha mentioned it comes because of like and dislike. So people have their own likes and dislikes. As a result of that, jealousy and avarice is going to arise. Say for example, you want to have something, but you are not capable of having it. Assume that you are not in a very good financial status. Therefore, you can't acquire a very good car, for example. It's a very kind of a best car, but you can't afford it. But you have seen someone else, maybe your neighbor, is capable of having that car. Now what you do, you become jealous of that neighbor. Now if we understand the root, the main cause, it has become some sort of a desire in your mind. You couldn't fulfill that desire. And when you see someone who was able to fulfill that desire, and you become jealous of that person. So you can see there was like, there was dislike in the mind. So those are certain inherent qualities in the mind. And you, when those are prevalent in the mind, so it causes jealousy and avarice. And you want to protect your things, and then the miserliness and all these other parts also come into the picture. And here, after mentioning that, Buddha mentioned, sorry, the Godsaka asked another question, as actually I explained. Now he asks, what's the cause for like and dislike? So then Buddha mentioned that is the desire. So desire is the one causing like and dislike. And then after that question, then Godsaka asks, what is the cause for desire? Then Buddha giving an interesting answer, he says, because of thinking the desires are arising. Then we are coming to the most important part of this sutta. Actually, I can't say the most important part, one of the important points that relevant to our discussion. When Godsaka asks how thinking arises, now then Buddha mentioned arises from the tendency to proliferation. So this is an interesting point mentioned here in this sutta. So because of the tendency to proliferation, then the thinking happens. Now if we go back, now this seems to be the, in according to this sutta, this seems to be the root cause, that is the tendency to proliferation available in one's mind. It may be the celestial beings, it may be the nagas, asuras, humans, whoever. So they all have the tendency to proliferate. So when they have such tendency to proliferate, they start to think. And as a result of that, the desires are arising. As a result of that, like and dislike going to arise. As a result of that, jealousy and avarice going to arise. And it's a kind of a bond. And as a result of that, all the harming, hate, hostilities and all these arguments, quarrels going to arise. Now here we can find out an interesting situation, because now we learned from our previous session that mental proliferation is another aspect which is coming to being based on our sensual activities. And here Buddha talks about another aspect of this mental proliferation being a root cause for further thinking and going on to the various other issues It seems like kind of a contradiction. Now, if I refer Madhupindika Sutta, now this is what mentioned there. Now, in the Madhupindika Sutta, the flow goes like this. Because of eye and forms, when they come together, then the eye consciousness arises. And when these three are occurring together, they manifest again and again. So the kind of a accumulation is there, kind of a presence is there of the all three phenomena. And as a result of that, the contact arises, the passa contact arises. And it causes feelings. So whoever undergo kind of contact, so now he starts to feel. Feelings arise. And once feelings are there, now he starts to perceive. Now he wants to recognize more and more information. Now the perceptions are arising. Yang vedeti tang sanjanati. So the feelings he perceives now. So after, in order to perceive further, he now start to think. He is connecting to the past, he is connecting to the future, and all sorts of perceptions are coming to the picture as a result of that. And this thinking, when it is happening in various directions, related to the past, related to the future, related to various other sense organs, etc., now it produces mental proliferation. Now this is the order that we can recognize according to the Madhupindika Sutta. Now according to the Sakkapancha Sutta, we have another order. Now here Buddha mentioned that people have the tendency to proliferate. Papancha Sanya Sankha, the same wordings. People have the tendency to proliferate. That causes vitakka, the thinking, and it causes desires, and desires cause like and dislike, and it causes jealousy and avarice, and it causes hate, harming one another, hostilities and malignant, all these issues are there. Now, from the kind of outside look, on the onset, seems like these two theories are contradicting. But if we see clearly, so it is not contradicting. So this is a very, very interesting technical point is here. So why mental proliferation caused to all these issues, which is undergoing vitakka, chanda, piya appiya, like and dislike, issa macchariya, so this jealousy and avarice, miserliness, all these, and then it caused to this. Actually, understanding hate, harming one another, hostilities and all, that they happened because of jealousy and miserliness, so that can be actually understood. And again, we can understand, okay, people have their own likes and dislikes, so that is causing this jealousy and avarice, so that also can be understood. And people have their desires, that causes like and dislike, that also can be understood. And maybe desires are aggravated because of thinking, that also can be understood. Then how we understand this point? Tendency to proliferate. So, papancha sanya sankha causing vitakka, it is very much like the opposite here. Now, the vitakka generates prapancha, the thinking generates mental proliferation. Now, here, mental proliferation generates thinking. Now, we can see kind of a vicious cycle here. So, when, according to Madhupindika Sutta, so when they start to think, it generates mental proliferation. Now it is going on and on. Now when mental proliferation take upper hand, it generates further thinking. So that is what highlighted here. So this vitakka and papancha have kind of a interrelationship. They are having kind of mutual relationship. When one thinks, it has a potential to generate more proliferation. And when proliferation happens, it causes too much thinking. Now proliferation takes upper hand. Now it sort of generates more thinking. Now it has kind of a mutual relationship between these two. And on the other hand, there's another point that we can understand here. That is, so what are the things available in the world? What are we see through our eyes? What are the things that we hear through our ears? What are the things that we recognize, cognize through our nose? And what we taste through our tongue, what we go through our senses, our body, touching sensations. And if we consider the outside objects, so we can say they are kind of products of mental proliferation. Say for example, if you consider a car. So car is a product of mental proliferation. So people have thought about it. People sort of design it. Many people get together. They put their own different ideas to it. They put together and have their different views about it. And ultimately they come up with a product. So this product is not a very primordial thing, but it's a very complex outcome. So it's an outcome that very outcome represents a huge amount of mental proliferation. So when you see that product, it is not a very fundamental, very primary kind of characteristic, but rather it's a huge complex entity. So that huge complex entity represents kind of a result of papancha. And once you see that, immediately it generates thinking, because it is a product of thinking. So many people were involved in too much thinking and they are coming up with this product. So it actually takes another person who look at that product also to think. And when he thinks, there are desires arising in his mind. Now he want to buy that car. Now he want to possess that car. Now he don't have enough money to possess that car, to buy that car. Now he see someone, he want to own that car. He has now generated a like in him. So there's a like towards that car. But unfortunately, he is not possible to purchase it, can't afford it. Now he see another person driving the car. Suppose his neighbor or his companion. Now he is having that car, which is this person also likes it, but he can't afford it. Now what happened? Jealousy and avarice going to arise. Suppose now this person, even though he is jealous, now he can't stop that jealousy. Now probably he put a hint. He make an argument. He sort of condemns. He get into some kind of an argument with that particular person who already possessed that car. Now going to have an hatred and arguments, harming one another. All sorts of issues are now going to arise. Now we can see a very interesting relationship in this Sakkapancha Sutta. How many issues are going to arise because people have this tendency to proliferate, and what they see also kind of products of mental proliferation. And as a result of that, we are somewhat entangled, trapped in a real huge vicious cycle. From here, Buddha mentioned that all these genesis is there for the mental proliferation. And in this sutta, Buddha mentioned that what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch are products of mental proliferation. And as a result of that, it generates further thinking, further desires, further likes and dislikes, jealousy, miserliness, and that actually leads to many issues. So this is what actually I like to share with you today, and we can further discuss on this Sakkapancha Sutta, how Buddha is going to address this issue, and we'll discuss that in the future. And with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. There are many things to ponder here. Therefore, I like to have a discussion with you related to today's Dhamma sermon, or if you have any question or if you have anything to add, so you can raise your hand and put the question.